But yeah, seriously, like everything I've seen come out of Australia, like it's like, you know, like the people make the gallows humor, the jokes in Australia. Now you don't even have to, you know, break out the Barbie. You're living in the Barbie
right
now.
Yeah, we are
now.
The Barbie. We are the shrimps on the Barbie right now.
Oh my God! It looks like the apocalypse.
It does.
But then I realized. But what the thing about it is, like, everybody's like, see, climate change exists. So, no, shit, climate change, because climate does change. If you're talking about catastrophic, man-made sabotage of standard or normal climate systems, or, you know, like, poor mouthful kind of stuff. Basically, hey, let's pump a bunch of carbon into the atmosphere and mess up weather patterns and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, for sure. But what are you going to do about it? So all industry needs to stop. Okay, yay. What about that? It's like, it's stuff like that.
The problem is all industry needed to stop a while ago. The problem is we as a society don't want our $4 Kmart t-shirts that are made in Bangladesh. We don't want to pay $8 for those t-shirts.
No, we don't pay that. We don't want to pay our own citizens, whether they're Australian, American, whatever.
No.
When in the late 70s, there's a ad I saw. It was one of these it's Riff Tracks people. It used to be Mystery Science Theater, and they were riffing the Star Wars Holiday Special, and there was commercials in between the Holiday Special version they were showing, which was actually pretty high quality for the Star Wars Holiday Special. And in it was the National, Undergarments Union. Don't let America send these jobs overseas. Basically, get your bras and underwear made in America, or it means something. And then that was late 70s.
Never
gone.
Happened. No,
it's gone, because it's like you're talking 40 years ago. That stuff was shipped overseas because it's cheaper to pay a 7-fingered, 10-year-old Bangladeshi kid to work in a factory that has chains on the doors.
Well, it's not just the cruelness and the oppressiveness of the situation at those factories.
It's the bottom line, and that's the thing.
They're breaking so many EPA or equivalent laws and regulations. Yeah. They're dumping toxic waste left, right, and center, and emitting all this carbon stuff. So we all have the moral high ground. So we've implemented these policies and regulations here, and here.
Exactly.
Well, it's not us, and yet all we do is just ship our problems to other countries.
And they can also say we're employing these people that would not have any other jobs otherwise. So we're helping out their economy at 10 cents a week or something on those lines. It's like where they're living in rat holes and horrible conditions, and we're having these shirts come in like coated in arsenic and other stuff like that to keep bugs and other critters from
my kids have pretty sensitive skin. I have to wash everything they got for Christmas first.
Sometimes you got to do it two times, because like you'll see some like pick up some shirts, and I learned the hard way. Like years ago when I was a kid, you know, being taken to like to the clothing store, you got to try this clothes on before we go. I learned from when I was a kid that some of that stuff, whatever they put in there, I guess in different levels, because wherever it's coming from, would make my skin break out in like hives. Like basically look like I got a rat. And my mother didn't understand it at the time, neither did I, because they didn't talk about this stuff. It's like, oh yeah, your clothes, these clothes at these, clothing stores, your JCPenney or whatever, Belk's, are coated in poison and toxins to keep bugs and rats and probably like a little Bangladeshi kid trying to come to America and have a good life. Yeah. Why is he speaking Italian? I don't know.
I don't know. Somehow I eat the wrong meatball and I wake up in a Bangladeshi factory.
A Chef Boyardee. My home is a Chef Boyardee, Ken. it's stuff like this. Like, would now, now they're saying like all these plastics and stuff that's, size of Texas floating in the Pacific, and all those plastics that you've been consuming for, and technically I'm consuming right now because my little plastic cup, I guess it's different types of plastics.
Yeah.
All this, it causes breasts to form, men to basically be more feminized.
Mm-hmm.
mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is, it's,
well, we SJWs ourselves. Have to come from somewhere.
True. That, though, it's, though you look at the world, I mean, I guarantee it doesn't help none that I was thinking about this. You know, that whole, what'll drive a madman sane, it'll drive a sane man mad.
Women.
Well, that too. you know, but looking at, you know how people, like, you know, if they're women that smoke or drink when they get pregnant, some do completely, you know, go cold turkey smoking and drinking for the baby's sake.
Yeah.
But you know, there's women that will, every now and then, it won't hurt the baby, whether that's smoking tobacco or cannabis. But what about antipsychotic or antidepressants? Because those women get pregnant too. And Cordy, I looked it up. I was like, maybe that's the reason everybody's so crazy nowadays. Because, you know, like in the 90s, they started just, hey, you feel down, you feel anxious. Anxiety comes with life. We are living, you're more likely to die in a car crash than be struck by lightning or win the lottery. Horrible.
It's a survival mechanism. It's one of the things that fuels the fight or flight reflex.
Exactly. You got to keep on your toes. But people numb themselves to the world. I think that's why everybody's so hateful nowadays, because they have to be. Hate is the only emotion that they can really feel because they're so numb from all the drugs they take, or they were born that way. It's like, hey, babies, like mothers, crack, women that do crack or heroin, kids are born addicted. Who's to say that these kids that are born, these women that are taking antidepressants, antipsychotics, are not born with that dependency and or that addiction and or withdrawal?
I mean, there's more and more links on the other side of the coin with parents, mothers-to-be that go off certain foods. So they get scared about articles about, you know, peanuts. So they won't eat any nuts during their term. And guess what happens to the kid? The kid's born with a freaking nut allergy because the placenta hasn't filtered any nut proteins through.
When I was going to school, like, I mean, though my dad was a union laborer, there were times where it was very tough. He'd actually have to go out of state, and he'd come home every weekend. He'd call every night, and he would stay, like right home. Like, he got to a point where he would stay at these places just because, like, when you get into town, like, there ain't much option. Like, especially some of these places, like, middle of nowhere, West Virginia, like, a 8-room crap motel, ceilings leaking, bed, God knows what. So he'd get one of those nylon sleeping bags, the biggest one they'd have, like, yep, from a sporting goods store, and just sleep on top of the the cover, and inside that, and, like, not touch anything.
Totally understand that. When I was living on the road as a muso, best investment I ever made was a stretcher.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, a little cot. Yeah. Put a little canvas with aluminum.
Stretcher and a sleeping bag. And it didn't matter the dive we were put up in. Seedy backwoods hotel that we'd just played at. And, you know, they put us up in the barn behind it.
The barn, if you're lucky, yeah. It's like, you know, that's some lean-to. But, yeah, it's, you know, growing up, there was lunches, like, for basically kindergarten all the way up to my senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. Nearly every lunch was peanut butter and jelly, because it's cheap to buy, cheap to make, easy to make, and everything
can't
like that.
Can't take to school now.
You can't take to school, because it's a weapon. I could just shove it in some. I could shove it in some kid. You know, and then they swell up.
Yeah, but my thing is, if your kid is vulnerable to peanuts, you know, if your kid's kryptonite is peanuts, then your kid ain't normal and needs to go to fucking peanut school. You know what I mean? It's
you got to be, you know, honestly, I look at it almost in the Darwin Magneto.
I'm not saying I'm not saying you should let him die.
I'm not saying let him die, but maybe nature needs to take its course, because this idea of coddling, like, you got to walk around an EpiPen all the time. Like, there's certain,
just,
like,
send those kids to anaphylaxis junior high and get on with it.
I'm extreme, man. When it comes to stuff, we have made physically weak humans to the point that a legume, one little peanut, dust from a peanut, like, you know, just not even a whole peanut, but just a bit of it, and, like, that's a, what, that right there is, like, the fear you know, like poisons or anything like that. You got to get used to it. You can't just like, you know, shove it, you know, like, oh, let's go eat a whole jar of peanut butter right off the bat.
But look, but this whole in their defense, they don't have a say in it. The ones that really deserve to be lined up against the wall are the people who elect to go without vital foods. The people who go gluten-free as a choice, they need to be walked off the end of a pier.
Oh, my joints! Oh, my joints! I can't do this because my joints... So, everybody else, you know, like, if you have kids, especially if you're a woman, you have kids, and that right there, you're gonna, you know, you're gonna affect your child. But, hey, who cares? It's like, you know, like, me first kind of stuff. It's, you know, like, you're thinking for two at that point, but...
But this all ties into my conceit, and this is the same thing about how we got started on this tack with you know, Walmart clothing and slave labor and how unsustainable manufacturing and construction is in third world countries, that we, the first world, basically pillage and take advantage of to get these things. It all ties back to one fundament, and that's... We give too much power to the consumer. We give too much power to the lowest common denominator of human. The type of person that demands a $4, you know, V-neck from Walmart doesn't necessarily or shouldn't necessarily be entitled to have it. They shouldn't dictate the market on that. I mean, it's economics. I reckon Starship Troopers had the best idea. You don't get to vote unless you're a citizen, and you have to earn your citizenship.
Fight a war with the bugs. But what if Drew Maven, the man I am today, has no legs, has a robotic arm?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, honestly, it. While the peace through superior firepower, aggression, you know, and as fascistic as the Starship Troopers film is, because the novel is different. People are like, oh, the novels, yes, we get it. Yeah, they're... It's two different things, but the film works in as fascistic as basically tongue-in-cheek Nazism with everything. Like, I mean, it's barely tongue-in-cheek, but the idea that people will just... If you allow people to just consume and run roughshod, that a person that mutilates their body, cuts, you know, valid limbs and members off of their body, because something in their head tells them to, or they just do it because there's people that actually will, like, they're like amputee freaks. Like, they'll actually put their hands in dry ice, and so they can have their hands amputated. So you're telling me that person who did that will have the same equal vote that I do? No, yeah, no. That okay? So a person who that has never worked a day in their life, has never like known hardship, I mean pampered, that I'm talking, they got trust funds, they've never had to buy a car, you know, everything was bought for them, travel around the world, they're treated like, you know, princes and princesses, as it were. They unfortunately, they have more of a say than I do, because I guarantee they have more connections than I do. Mm-hmm. Or you, or pretty much anybody else. But they're the same ones. We'll talk about the plight of this people or that people while they're using a phone made by slave labor in China, mined from minerals from conflict zones in Afghanistan or Africa, and want to draw, and are they're on the waiting list to get one of those Tesla vehicles, which are also made of rare earth elements that are also, you know, it's government subsidized. Tesla, if I'm not mistaken, still got, it has government subsidies, U.S. government subsidies. And, oh, yeah, all the solar panels and all this, that's all good for the environment. They're made out of petroleum as well. People forget that part. Okay. It's all made out of petroleum. It's like, it's convenient to forget these things. You know, everybody's like, oh, hydrogen, it's not efficient. I'd rather we go with hydrogen and then eventually build up to the point where, you know, better efficient engines and stuff, then let's do this, you know, solar, this, that, whatever, because... electric vehicles. We'll get electric vehicles take like 45 minutes to an hour and a half to charge, and that's in like California conditions where maybe it gets down like 50, yeah, you know, like the Southern California. Right now, 2 days ago, it was in the 70s Fahrenheit here. That'd be about 20 something. You're your Celsius or whatever. You know?
Sure.
And then now it's, I looked outside and there's frost on my vehicle. So near freezing right now. So there you go. And what, batteries don't do so well in the cold. But hey, you know, customers say we want, you know, eventually they'll say we want electric. Hey, we want electric. Well, that's great for warm, stable, you know, temperate conditions around the world. But when you're living where you can go from, you know, hot to freezing in a matter of 24 hours, the battery life ain't.
Perfect example is Melbourne today. It's been, it was a high of 19 degrees Celsius and raining. This is after, last week when we were 42 degrees Celsius and bone dry. Like
surface on the surface of the sun.
Yeah.
The surface of the sun.
Yeah. Superman could just come to Melbourne and wash his cape last week. I worked from home. I didn't go into work because it was too hot.
It's nuts, man. It's no wonder they chose other places as a prison colony.
Look, it's nuts. The lawyers be nuts. But like I said, we made this mess. We gave the masses a voice and a power to influence society, and they did nothing to earn that power, and this is where we are. We should stop appealing to the consumer, who is the lowest common denominator.
The customer is not always right. That was that marketing slogan for a department store in the early 1900s, and the customer is always right. No, they're not. They're dishonest. They will thieve, they will lie to get the upper hand, because guess what? That's what a human does.
I started working retail the first time, on one of the first training days, we watched a video of shoplifters in that department store I was working in. And they had their own internal statistics, because this was an international chain I was working for. They said, we have compared the numbers across every country, and they don't care what people say, every country had similar statistics. Over 70% of shoppers are opportunist thieves. So out of 10 people, you're going to meet 3 that are stand-up human people. And the other 7 will steal anything if they think the camera's not looking at them, and they're not going to get into trouble.
Yeah, that's humanity, and as it's there's that one of those things about, well, hey, how did the white man go to conquer all the earth because of germs, steel, and guns? You know, that's basically it. And that hungry atmosphere that we survive. Oh, this area is too cold. Move over here. You know, that right there, like conquer this, take that. Hey, all there's these pretty women over here. Let's just take them for our own. Hence, all the Scandinavian women. That's why they're all beautiful, because the Vikings just grabbed every pretty woman they saw and just took them for their own. Hey, why are these? You know, hey, defenses. We built up walls around cities so we can actually learn and not be raided and pillaged on a regular basis, and actually have a civilization, you know, rise up around.
But why?
You know, around.
Why are we giving those 7 people the vote?
The quote-unquote fairness, well, as we all know, life is not fair.
But they're
fair.
Not being fair. They're thieves.
Exactly.
If they're going to die by the sword, then no fairness should be afforded them.
Well, that's just so funny. It's like, you know, guilty until, innocent until proven guilty, but at the end of the day, it's really guilty until proven innocent. I misspoke. But yeah, we are dealing with humanity in general, where I don't subscribe to that idea that, deep down everybody's a good person. No. Assume that everyone you meet is a horrible monster of different, and I'm not talking like Stalin, Mao, Hitler, you know, Genghis Khan kind of thing, Christopher Columbus, you know, it's, oh God, I was watching something about Christopher Columbus. It made me angry. It made me want to, like, I don't, desecrating, you know, resting places of the dead, that's a bad thing, but Columbus, if his, like, happened to just, like, get desecrated, I wouldn't feel bad about it. So, like, 10-year-old sex slaves.
He's a national hero you're talking about here.
I was waiting for you to do it. Yeah. But,
You're in my house. You will not speak badly about Christopher Columbus.
I think he did 6 days or 6 weeks. Basically, he had enslaved the people. There's 3 million people on this island. He got them down to like 500,000 in like 10 years. And he wiped them all out within 50. Like, cutting off hands and selling little girls into sex slavery. Apparently, one of his guys was so horrified, he turned to the priesthood. He's like, I gotta ask God for forgiveness for just watching this happen. You know, like, Columbus is like... It's like, you know, nightmare.
I got the quote wrong. It's, in this house, Christopher Columbus is a hero. End of story.
But, people in general, though, that's what gets me. Like you said, service equals citizenship. You know, that idea is, you know, like, prove yourself worthy of actually having a voice. Just being... By the grace of being born within the United States, oh wow, you get to be a voter and have the right and ability to say, yeah, I want that person to represent me. I want that person to be president. I want that kind of power. Where eventually those people could have war powers.
I don't want to be anti-democracy here, but out of that 7 out of 10 ratio that the shrinkage specialists at the department store identified, democracy is bunk, because more than the majority have the wrong intentions in life.
There's a candidate running for president. He probably won't be running for long because I don't think he's, you know, he's got much legs. His name's Andrew Yang, and he wants to do a universal basic income, give every U.S. adult $1,000 a month through basically the rest of their life.
Yeah, Scandinavia is trialing that.
Here's a problem. Scandinavia's probably got like 15 million people. We have 400 million plus and growing every day.
Yeah.
So we already give out driver's licenses to illegals. Like, you don't have to prove nothing. Like, you just go and get a driver's license. When I got my driver's license back in the good old days of 2002, I actually had to go and – because I waited until I was 18 to get my driver's license, because insurance would have been easier and cheaper to get a hold of. Also, I didn't want to spend my weekends and during a summer driving around one of those little student driver cars. I already knew how to drive by the age of 10. Mm. Actually, by the age of 6, I was actually driving tractors and freaking people out because they couldn't see the driver, because I could see fine, but they couldn't see me because it was like, it's a big old steering wheel to drive. I don't sit like this in the tractor. I had a lady think the tractor was driving itself down a mountain. And she's like, I remember I was driving this like Massey Ferguson with the dual tires, and it had a manure spreader, and I got on the tractor, turned off the PTO, power takeoff, which actually powers the spreader for the manure spreader, and I was moving it down the hill, and I'm driving, and I see this little car coming down, and I hear, just slammed on the brakes, did like the 3-point turn, and went up to the house, and I'm like, uh-oh, I think I'm in trouble for doing something. I was like, I just had a bad feeling. My mother's careening across the field. What are you doing up there? Like, we're visiting cousins, and that was his tractor. So I was driving it without permission. He's like, hey, he should have told me how to crank that tractor up. I'd never worked on that kind of tractor before. That was his fault. He's like, hey, we're over here, and like, because with him and his wife and everything like that, he had to go to town the next morning. That's like, he left the tractor unsupervised. And it's like, I was an adventurous kid. I was doing all these kind of things. But see, right there proves I shouldn't have a vote. They're right there. I've not done anything to be worthy of a vote. I'm just as bad as the rest of these people. But
yeah.
But that's like, it's scary that but the Andrew Yang guy, basically giving them a bribe to people, $12,000 a year just to basically be there, even though automation, so you're 400 million times 12,000. It's like, I typed it in a calculator and went like 4E plus 12. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Is E a billion, a trillion? I don't know. I don't know.
It would be. You'd be in the trillions, at least, at the very least.
You're talking that much. You know, 4 trillion a year.
But you know why a few Scandinavian countries were trying it, right? You know the reason. It's because the future redundancy, once we automate everything, will mean there'll be no income for the majority of us.
See, that's the problem with industry. Like, around here, there is there's a community college, and they have one of their classes, a truck driving class, for long-haul, mainly long-haul driving, how to back up trucks, how to drive them.
You've seen Logan. You know how that story ends.
I worked security and worked around these people. When I started, some of these trucks had it. They got to, for the 13 years I worked security, to see the automation process and the basically where they went from having, hey, you might have a little computer in a truck to, hey, contact your bosses or something like that, bigger companies, to the smaller rinky-dink, the operations, knowing when you moved your truck, how far you moved it, what you did, when you opened the door, when you closed the door. Basically, you had a robot in there knowing pretty much every move. When you went into the back of the cab, when you got out, basically to see how many people were in the truck, it could count that kind of thing. That's creepy. And eventually, these truck driving classes, you'd see a lot of people. Like I got to the point where I could tell Russians just by looking at them. Like, yeah, they, Russians have the Slavs and Russians have like weird heads.
Yeah. They have like very weird heads, and their eyes are a little bit wider apart.
Their noses are very sharp.
Serbian permafrost does that to you.
The temples are usually very defined, like deep temples, like the recesses. Not all Slavs, of course.
You need eyes wide apart so you can see the enemy coming for you.
It's sunken in. Like, a lot of their eyes are very sunken in. Like, you know, of course, like I see a guy show up and I'm like...
That is because they've seen such horror.
He's going to have track pants on. He's got wife beater. He's got track pants on. He's going to have, like, the Adidas slippers. And he gives you, like, Adidas slippers. He's like, and, like, Andres, whatever, like, that kind of thing. And it's like, sure. I mean, but you're going to have the point where you're going to have nothing but automation. Automated forklifts, automated trucks. And, hey, everything's great until some hacker, and nothing's hack-proof. Like, oh, you like, there's a girl that turned you down? Well, or she's some, you know, she's a cam whore, and, you know, like, she blocked you on, you know, some social media site. Say you hijack one of these robo-trucks and drive it right into her house while she's streaming her little cam whore show. You know, I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. Eventually it will. That's going to be, give it time. Yeah, it's going to be. But when you have enough people, it's going to be. I think that's what they're trying to push, that VR stuff. That they want like people to just like, hey, just basic living, eat the bugs, put the VR helmet on, work in your Amazon cages, live in your concrete. You know, it's everybody jokes about it now. It's not a joke.
No, it ain't a joke at all.
This is the problem with it. Honestly, it's a problem with corporatism. It ain't capitalism. It's corporatism, because corporations cannot survive unless they make more money the coming year than they did the year before. You can't go and make $5 billion in 2018 and then only make $4 billion or $5 billion in 2019. You got to make $6 billion or $7 or $8 billion. And if you slide back, well, CEO's got to go, CFO's got to go. We got to change things up and make more money. It can't be like old mom and pop store where, hey, you might do, you only do like, you know, $100,000 this year. You do like $200,000 the next, $125,000, $100,000, maybe $90,000, but you go back up to $200,000. You know, you recover a little bit. You change things around. It can't be like that, because it's like family owned, small time. And then, but now we've got corporations that have so much reach and so much power, you know, oil companies, these, you know, tech companies, like right now, you know, the technology we're using, everything, and it's like,
well, yeah, it's just going to be, it's essentially going to be Disney versus Google versus Facebook versus Huawei. That's pretty much the four major players that we've got now. And, you know,
I'd say Amazon as well, because Amazon has military contracts. I think, well, not,
well,
not
so does Huawei. Though. Huawei has Chinese military contracts.
True.
One must stand, three must fall.
With Amazon has, of course, Amazon, the delivery system. They have their delivery package. They have packages and shopping. They have their video streaming. They have their data storage. They have Twitch. They have their military. Like, they have the local radio stations here. Like, use your smart device. Use your Amazon. Use your Alexa. This, that, whatever. I'm not going to put one of these. It's bad enough I got this laptop here, but I'm not going to have a little robot voice.
Yeah. No, but I agree.
If I want to turn radio on, if I want to turn radio on, I don't. If I had kids, I would not want my kids used to like talking to a robot, and then because that thing is always listening, it has to always listen. So you know when it not, so when it knows not to listen, it's always listening. You know, that's just like inviting spyware into your house. You know, like it's recording stuff. It's like, if you got nothing to hide, it's. Eventually, they want nobody to have any personality, like no individuality. You can't just like let off steam and say horrific things.
But it's not for the old reasons. They don't want people to have personality or individuality, not for control anymore. It's they don't want anything to break the sales algorithm.
The system in general. It's just like. Here in the States, you know, we're a nation of terrorists. We were built by terrorists. Mm-hmm. We are a terrorist nation. We
and you've been building terrorists nonstop ever since.
Hey, dude, we are people. You know, like you're anti America. Says, oh, I love America, but I understand what it is.
Mm.
We're a nation of terrorists. We were killing. We were doing horrific things during the Revolutionary War. Look what we did to each other during the Civil War. It was like, you know, like how many, you know, people? How many people died over? Well, at the end of the day, everybody's like, "Oh, it's slavery." Nope, it was about power. Because the Southern, the plantation owners, they were the political and powerful elite of the South.
Yeah,
and their slaves, which picked the cotton. That was turning the clothing up in the northern factories in Maine, New England, like all the New England states. They had the power because without the slave owners, these who had political power and all this, you know, but and also financial power, you break the back of that, and you know, boom, there you go. Like you know, we now have a bunch of people out of work. you have freed slaves. No, the slave owners don't have the power like they did before. They still have some, but you know, but America, we're good at building terror.
Yeah,
but the idea of watering the tree of liberty with the blood of patriots, you know, basically revolution. Like, hey, if something goes wrong, revolt. That can't happen anymore. Mainly the deep state, and everybody's like, "Oh, deep state is conspiracy." No, deep state. Started in the late 1800s. That was basically where every president would come in. They bring everybody with a new cabinet. Like everybody get a new cabinet. Like this, like 15, 20, 30 slots or whatever had to be filled. Mm-hmm. So basically, like there's always turnover. Nobody could get to learn the job, get be efficient with the job. This is.
You. Breaking up there, buddy.
That's better.
Hello?
Maybe the deep state's coming after me. I can hear you. I can see you.
You talk about eating lizard babies again? I told you. We're not talking about Prince Andrew here.
Elon Musk. Obviously, that's Elon Musk. But lizard babies right there. Elon Musk's children. No. it's like V. It's like tear the skin little V baby. No, but I was saying is, you know, the idea of a people in power, the kind of bureaucratic side of things, staying in power no matter who the president is, whether they're, you know, one side or the other. So the real power of America lies in these bureaucrats, these career bureaucrats that don't get elected, that they just, they have as much power, if not more. And like in the United States, the two biggest employers are state and federal government, whether that's DOT, social services, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. It's either federal or state, which means if you can't really go and do a revolution when about 30-40% of the nation's workforce that are is working for a government organization. You can't basically say, "Hey, you know your paycheck comes. We're gonna take your paycheck away. We're gonna overthrow the government." You can't even do that kind of stuff. You can't even, if it was like a truly corrupt government, we're gonna start rounding people up, putting them in cages, you're Catholic, we gotta put you in a cage. You're from the South. Well, we're going to put you on railroad cars. We're going to send you someplace nice. Don't worry, we're going to feed you. You'll get a little tattoo on your arm. Don't worry about it. You know, there will be no South Rising again. We got new people coming in from the deep, deep South. They'll take your positions. You know, they have weird accents, but that's new America for you. Like that kind of stuff. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like different kind of accents, different kind of Southern accents. Latin accents, but, there's like Southern fears out there, I think some people want that to happen. So they got all this guns and ammo they've been sitting on for years. Like, come on, Civil War II, come on, Red Dawn. They're waiting for something to happen.
Possibly.
Which is kind of scary. It makes me fearful of the future. It's like fear of the future. Worst case scenario, I get drafted into a militia. Well, not even worst case, but best case scenario, drafted into a militia. worst case, I'm digging my own grave behind a chemical shed before I lined up against it and whoo! And dropped in. But that those people in power could be put there because they are more likely corruptible.
Well, I think the concept of people in power in and of itself is misguided. I think it's very clear that there are puppeteers or an elite class or Illuminati, if you so please, who are guiding those in charge.
Yeah. Well, that's the world in general, though. I mean, yeah. Like, look who... It's like, well, who... You know, the whole Iran thing, you know, which... I remember I was listening back to our end of the year episode,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that aged like... fine milk during a hot summer. that was Trump ain't so bad. He ain't as bad. Whatever.
I did quietly enjoy when, yeah.
I'm wrong.
We still love you, Larry.
Yeah, I'm wrong, but it's. I will say it is the whole. Like, everything. Whoa.
Right until you were wrong.
No, I'm usually wrong. Just trust me. When people ask your opinions, I assume I'm wrong. But I was thinking this. My issue with the whole Iran thing is like, well, that guy's a bad guy. The guy that looks like the Dos Equis commercial, you know, the most interesting man in the world. He just stopped smoking yesterday. We want to congratulate him for stop smoking. He stopped smoking yesterday. It's like the whole because he was hit by a Hellfire missile and all that kind of stuff. He's burning and blowing up into pieces. But it's do you define him as a is he a world leader? See, that's where it gets that's where I'm coming from. Okay, that guy's bad. Yeah, right. Okay, I don't think anybody's gonna say no. He's a good guy. He's, you know the whatever Soleimani, whatever his name was. That guy, if he's a world leader, who's equivalent thereof to a vice president, we just killed a vice president of another country while he was visiting another country. You know, granted, he might have been there. He was probably there for nefarious reasons. we just executed a, you know, a preemptively a world leader.
Yes.
Now it's like saying, you know what, them Japanese, we're getting too close to when they were like started, you know, raping Nanking and Korea and all that kind of stuff. You know what? I don't trust them prime minister. You know, that kind of thing. It's where do you draw the line? It's and who benefits? Contractors, people that make money off of guns, hellfire missiles, fuel. That want war. Hey, you know, you gotta provide for your soldiers. Hey, I guarantee Pizza Hut would want the contract for the military bases, you know, that are going to be set up, you know, to feed the troops and everything like that. Subway.
I'm not 100% up to date with American political process, but can someone under impeachment investigation execute that kind of order?
Well, actually, yes. Impeachment, you know, impeachment took down Richard Nixon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he resigned from the office and all that kind of stuff because of Watergate.
Sure.
This was a process where if you actually watch the footage, it was embarrassing that it actually, if they'd have just censured him, which would have been like very, that would have been like a kind of like a technical slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
But considering that there's evidence that Joe Biden and his son had connections to Ukrainian oil producers, and there's footage of Joe Biden, like basically there's hard evidence of him saying, "Well, I called him up, so if you don't do something about this, we're going to have to, you know, pull funding." Yeah, basically, like strong arm tactics.
Yep.
There's evidence that can't bring up this, so they. Instead of bringing it and it, presidential authority with the whole after, basically Bush broke everything, 9/11 broke everything. It's like it's not necessarily a declaration of war. It's like how Vietnam was a conflict. Vietnam was a, you know, like it was we're just sending supervisors aid. We're sending military aid to the embattled South Vietnamese. Yes, we have soldiers on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Yes, we got helicopter gunships in Cambodia and Laos. Yes, these things happen. But we're there to protect. We're just there observing. Do not fire unless fired upon. It's all technical. It's all this technicalities. Missile strikes and drones. A lot of these people, like, they're going rah, rah, rah. Yeah, I'm glad the guy's dead or whatever. They're not going to be the ones that are going to be fighting in the war, if there is a war.
No.
Probably won't be. Hopefully not. It's a hope. It's like the whole, everybody's like, we're going to go to war with North Korea. Remember that? That was a nuclear war with North Korea. Or North Korea's going to invade the South and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And nothing's happened, actually. North Korea's been pretty chill, which is nice. You know, which I'll admit
that I wouldn't say China and Japan are entirely happy with some of the recent missile tests, but yeah.
Hey, China—that's China's bastard stepchild that they let hang out in the garage and huff paint. They backed that.
Gale the snail.
They backed North Korea during the, you know, the conflict, the North versus South conflict. They backed them and gave military aid and support. That's their bastard offspring. Now, yes, Japan made it worse when they were just like on their let's grab everything in sight. Our eyes are bigger than our mouth.
Yeah,
let's grab up Korea and China and all the Marianas and hey, let's Darwin, Australia. Darwin.
They tried to get into Darwin. They also tried to get into Botany Bay.
Botany Bay. Oh no!
No, don't you know that story? There was a sub that just appeared. It'd be the equivalent of a sub appearing, you know, on the Hudson River.
I'm just expecting when that sub appearing. I'm just expecting like the Pokemon battle screen. It's like a Japanese sub has appeared. it has used torpedo in there.
Australian uses boomerang. It was 100% effective.
It was effective. It was critical hits. Health go down. You know, like super effective. But yeah, this. I mean, part of me is like, yeah, let Japanese have their own military back. At this point, it could just maybe stem the tide. Their special defense force isn't going to do much nothing against China. Apparently, everything Chinese military. Yes, they have all these many people. I don't think China wants to really go to war, because if they have to mobilize, a tenth of their population. If they do that, they're
increasingly aging invalid population. They're in a population crisis at the moment.
Well, Japan, but I was thinking of China, China's issues.
Yeah, no, China.
Oh, that's right, because of the whole...
Yeah, it turns out having a one-child-per-family policy has some long-term ramifications. Imagine that.
Hey, yes, let's kill all the girls in the country. That's a real good idea, yeah. You know? And so, yeah, these little fat kids, little fat boys who got no game because there's no women. But at this aspect, that do you really think the Chinese are going to be giving, you know, they're giving guns and military, sending out people that they have to suppress on a regular basis to fight an enemy, that the people that they suppress be like, you know what? I don't like this enemy, but I hate you even more, Beijing. You know, like, boom, turn around and friendly fire, start fragging your own superiors.
That's what Kissinger said. America has no friends. America only has interests.
Yeah. That's American general. I mean, that's, but in that, and that right there, that just shows, like, this is, you know, though I will say this, like, any kind of military, any kind of, like, you know, taking it back to the who would have a say, political say, to, like, control the fate of a country should not be somebody that's drafted, that's forced, conscripted into a conflict. They're right there. I mean, that's a terrible idea. Like, it's a whole other story if, you know, if we're invaded, if America's ever invaded, which hasn't happened ever. Because, yeah, you know, technically, people say 1812. I mean, we overreached. We just didn't. Yeah, we tried to take Canadian land, and the Brits got involved. Or they burned the White House down. But it really wasn't like. It's like that was whatever. It was like we rebuilt it.
Yeah, but there's. It used to be if you were a war hero and you could string two sentences together, you were guaranteed a spot in politics. Why? Because yeah. you could prove. Loyalty to the flag and adherence to a code bigger than you.
Hey, John McCain. John McCain's father is an admiral, and all he refused to. You know, he was tortured in Vietnam, and he refused to go back. And then, you know, many years later, oh, he's on video, bomb, 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 Iran. He thinks it's funny. Yeah, war is funny. Like a guy that was tortured to the point where he can't even lift his. He couldn't even lift his arms up.
Yeah.
You know, where the arms are. You'd think somebody would, you know, have like some kind of, you know, not necessarily be anti-war, but understand the consequences of war. But I've met people that were, they went to Vietnam and actually enjoyed it. Like, enjoyed killing people. And it was not everybody.
It's a bit odd.
It's to be told this, like, we're having a nice meal, visiting like a family friend and her new husband who's. You know, up in age. He was up in age. He's deceased now. Find out after he died, he killed a fellow soldier. Friendly fire incident with a captured VC weapon. He shot a fellow soldier with an AK. Accidental discharge.
Look at Ma. I found me a goop gun.
Pretty much. He said after they'd let him off. When they get off the helicopter, when they go in for search and destroy, that he never had a, you know, he had a smile on his face every single time when he got off the helicopter, go search. He was looking forward to killing people. And yeah. I was like, this is, and everybody else is all, I was like, what the hell? And he's just talking about nonchalantly, I guess to the point, he had already retired. He worked for a school system.
Yeah, of course he did.
He was working for a school system and in a position where his judgment mattered. and this guy's telling me that he enjoyed killing people in the NAM. This is the kind of stuff. Please. Yeah, but he didn't talk about, you know, accidentally fragging or accidentally fellow soldier. Yeah, but that kind of thing, like, should his voice matter? No, it shouldn't. Even if he did volunteer
to help. No, him. And that's it. And that's why we have, to tie it all the way back to the start, a climate system that's so messed up due to our laziness as a population and our corporate drive for the absolute highest profit, not for society, but for the shareholder.
Yeah. And the easiest way is best way, no matter what damage it does, no matter what chemicals it puts in the water. Because, hey, it's just over there in the far side of the world. Who cares? It's in Indochina. No one cares about that place. You know, put the factories over there. Get the little, you know, and, oh, yeah, the factories that pump out all this carbon, you know, not as much as some places, but put them on ships, you know, and then have to bring the ships all the way here, which guarantee that eats up a lot of fuel and other things of that nature. But, hey, all for the bottom line, because the bottom line is the only thing that matters. Like, you can run a business and have, you can be a capitalist and have morals. Blind capitalism to the point of being for a corporation, treating a corporation like an individual, that you got to protect the corporation. No, nothing is too big to fail. If it fails, consequences are drastic or severe.
Yeah.
So be it. That's what happens. This idea, too big to fail. No, nothing's too big to fail.
No, the global financial crisis was proof of that. The Titanic is proof of that.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. Like, when,
if anything, if it gets too big, it's more likely to fail.
Well, they bailed out the American auto company, the car companies here in the States.
Hmm.
Well, most of the cars are not even made here. The frames are made and, like, founded in Taiwan. The frames are made in Taiwan, shipped to Mexico, where the body parts are put on there, yep. And then shipped to Canada, where the electronics are put in, and then shipped to Detroit.
Now, rather than dictate to the consumer, the price of cars is the way it is because that's the way it is, and this is what we get out of it. Instead, we go, oh, you're not buying things because we're not cheap enough? Okay, we're going to lay off all our workers and get a bunch of people in China to do the major construction. And you know what? Let's get rid of our office plan and get all our accounting and admin and phone centers managed by a group of people paid $4 a week in Hyderabad. And the consumer goes, yes, I got myself a Dodge for 10 grand less. And long story short, this is where we are now.
Yeah. It's
well, also, they got themselves a Dodge that's six times as likely to fail for electrical and mechanical failure because of how, you know, roughshod it was assembled and shipped out, but also because they've been conned, they've been forced by the over-corporatism into a world of renewed consumables rather than fixing, rather than having a truck that you do up and, you know, stay with you some time. I mean, it's different over there to how it was over here. You've got to understand, for the longest time, America has had an automotive industry that's operated maybe half the price of what we have here, mostly because of shipping. Shipping to this freaking, you know, prison break experiment called Australia is quite expensive and quite hard, and that's why the automotive industry was so, what?
I was about to say, it's hard. You know how expensive it is to find someone to smuggle a Chevy up the rear to Australia?
where there's a will, there's a way.
You just get one of the Kardashians, they'll just do it. No, they'll do it for fun.
Yeah, that's it. That's a step down for them. But because of the expense of vehicles, for the longest time, up until only recently, it was you had a car, you did everything you could, and you spent every cent you could on maintaining and keeping that car.
Can't do that.
Why not?
Because everything's electronic here. Well, you got an O2 sensor that goes out, the circuit breaker goes, the fuse box goes out, fuse goes out. Oh, certain kind of, you got to have a certain kind of light. my vehicle, I can't even change the oil in it because I can't reach the the way the profile of it and the way the oil filter is, I can't even reach it without putting it up on like a hydraulic lift. I used to have a 94 Grand Prix. It was a cherry red. Pretty. Paid $400 for it. The rear quarter panel on the passenger side actually was dented in. Somebody had banged it out. I guess they got hit or something. So they banged it out to the point where it's like kind of rusted with like jagged rust lines. And it was the power motor and the passenger window would not work, would not go down. The driver's side motor went out. And so I had to manually lift the thing up and then put wedges to keep the window from sliding down and moisture getting in the car. Eventually the fan in the car, the fan on the for the radiator. I was going up a mountain. The fan died on me while I was going up a mountain because of these semi trucks are going at a slow speed and a low gear. So my radiator flushed out. So me and my dad had to wire up a manual fan that you had with a switch and the dash. It looked like something from Mad Max or whatever.
Yeah.
Flip the switch to turn the fan on to keep the car cool. But before we could do that, we had to get off the mountain. So we put as much water as we could in the car. Steam was billowing up. It looked like something like steampunk Doc Brown kind of deal. Got to the top of the mountain, and it's a North Carolina state line, Virginia state line. And me and my dad are in this car. Did not have the fan, and the fan was not working. Having to use the air to cool the car down. Steep, very steep grade. And it's like, cops are there because they want to catch speeders, but I had to keep the car cool. I felt like Keanu or something. You know, whoa. I was doing a little bit above the speed limit, like a mile or two. And I get to a area, the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is a very scenic route, and blacktop and everything. Share the road and be kind. I can't remember how fast I was going down that damn thing. I definitely won't go on a speed limit, but I had to get to where we were staying because if I didn't, the water that was in the car was just going to evaporate and the engine would seize up, you know, or the car would mess up. So I'm like barreling down the highway. It looked like something out of Mad Max. It's just like, I get into the yard and hose everything down. That smell, that burnt.
It ain't pretty, is it?
Ugh. God, in the middle of summer, too. August in the south, even in the mountains. Oh.
Yeah.
It was pretty. It was nice and pretty when I got to where we're staying. Like, you see the nice Blue Ridge Mountains and rolling hills and wildflowers. Oh, deer came up to my car later that night. I guess the smell of antifreeze. That's the thing. Like, I guarantee animals, for some reason, love the smell of antifreeze. And it was looking away. I was sitting on a porch. I was in a rocket chair rocking back and forth. And, like, the stars are out. There's no lights. And I'm looking at the stars, and I see this deer, because the light from the house was shining on the deer. And it was looking at the antifreeze vapor that dried on the side of the car. And I was like, that thing's going to die. And I said it's going to die. It looked up and looked at me. And I was like, oh, no, it's going to charge me or something. There was a doe. But I was like, oh, no, don't attack me. But, yeah, there were deer around. That was weird. It was a weird place up there. Bears, too, but I didn't see none. But I think that's it, man. I think that's it for this week, this fortnight.
Yeah.
We are going to dab on this. I did hear about those jokes. I see those jokes.
What?
That the younger generation, the 18-year-olds, the ones that played Fortnite, are actually going to have to go fight in Iran, and they're going to have to dab on some Iranian soldiers.
Oh, can you imagine? They'll be teabagging left, right, and center. I'm just checking our mailbag. Don't consider me rude.
No worries.
Oh, here you go. Scary. Professional Chinese products purchase. I can't read pinyin. I heard that you demand Chinese manufacturing products. If need help, please send me email. That's scary. That came through at 2:35 p.m. today.
It knows when you're around. It knows you.
If need help, please send me email. 2755143551@qq.com. Wow. That's
That's a big no. That's a big nope.
Yeah.
It's a big nope.
So yeah, might leave it there. If you have any opinions on what we've discussed, we'd love to hear them. Let us know. podcast@ankingfrequency.com on email. You can reach me on Twitter @AntonioSanciolo. Larry, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
@LarryKingUndead on Twitter and Instagram. Tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm right, that I'm a pinko commie and I should end up like the Rosenbergs, you know, the riding the lightning.
Yeah, look, we ain't criticizing capitalism. We've always been very quick to clarify that our concerns lie with corporatism, not capitalism.
The rights of the corporation over the individual, I'm not just saying consumer, but the individual alone, that, you know, that corporation needs to make money, so let's just dump it in, dump the chemicals anywhere. Mm-hmm. But there's a school near here. Hey, America, built by corporations.
Yeah.
Like Dow Chemical and Monsanto. And Agent Orange and Roundup, which gives people cancer, apparently, mm-hmm. allegedly. But, yeah, no, wonderful stuff.
Empirically. All right. Well, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks, guys. Goodbye.
Frequency. Copyright 2019 by White Tiger Graphics.